Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, creating laundry rooms with improved storage, workspace, and everyday function for one of the home's most used spaces. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. It's fair to say that the St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners produced some contentious meetings over the last few months. The board, consisting primarily of gubernatorial appointees, has sought significantly more money for the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, often in opposition of city officials of all ideological stripes. For instance, earlier this month, the board sought to boost the salaries of police commanders, but decided to hold off on the move after St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer objected. Spencer pointed out that the city's charter contains something called pay parity, meaning that any raise for police officers also requires a pay boost for city firefighters.
No department operates in a vacuum, and unfortunately, the Board of Police Commissioners has been operating largely in a vacuum and proposing raises, pay scales, and other things without consulting directly with the city that employs them.
Board of Commissioners President Chris Saraceno contended that the raises are long overdue for an agency that struggled to be competitive when it comes to pay.
The men and women of our command staff have gone well and above and earned every a raise, and you know, hopefully we can deliver that to them here very shortly.
Joining us now to discuss why this particular meeting of the Board of Police Commissioners exposed longstanding tensions between the city's police and firefighters is Rachel Lipman, who covers courts, St. Louis politics, and public safety for St. Louis Public Radio. Rachel, welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour in St. Louis on the Air.
It's always a good time, Jason.
It always is a good time. So let's start with a little background. How do raises for police officers work in the city of St. Louis? Because it seems there are multiple tracks.
Yeah, so there is what we think of as the, you know, rank and file St. Louis police officer, the one that you see out on the street in the patrol car, answering the radio calls, some of the lower level detectives. They and the first line commanders, so the sergeants, they negotiate contracts just through standard bargaining through St. Louis Police Officers Association. And they've managed to secure some pretty sizable raises for those men and women over the past several years. There was a 7% in January, that was on top of a 7% in 2025, and an up to 13% raise starting in 2023. But those raises don't apply to what are colloquially known as the white shirts. Those are the lieutenants and above, so the second, third, fourth line commanders. And it is those raises that are not really negotiated because they aren't unionized. They just kind of work and advocate for getting additional pay and higher pay, just, you know, not through an official bargaining process, but through conversations with the commands, command staff, budget people, etc.
How does pay for St. Louis City Police compare to, say, St. Louis County Police? My guess is it's lower, even though on paper working for the city would be a more difficult and dangerous job under some circumstances.
Under some circumstances, yes. I think policing in general, we can say, is a dangerous job under some circumstances.
But the reason before people get very mad at me, I think that even people who patrol Wildwood would concede that their job is not as difficult as patrolling parts of St. Louis. That's what I mean by that.
I think that is fair to say.
Continue.
And you are right that, yes, St. Louis County police officers do make quite a bit more than their counterparts in the city of St. Louis. For example, St. Louis County negotiated a contract that took effect in 2025, where a first-year officer will make about $64,000 a year by the end of the deal in 2027. For a comparison, in 2025, a St. Louis police officer starting out was making about $57,000 a year.
What was the general argument that members of the Board of Police Commissioners were making to increase funding specifically for commanders?
There were a couple of different things at work there. Number one is there are some circumstances in which sergeants, because they are eligible for overtime, can make more than the lieutenants that they report to. And what you set up there is a situation where nobody wants to move up in the pipeline. Nobody is interested in taking promotional exams because you're going to take a pay cut and you're going to get additional responsibility. The other thing that they are worried about is a hollowing out of the command staff that already exists. If you're a lieutenant with 20 years on at the St. Louis Police Department, you're eligible to retire. You can go jump to a different department, same rake, and make quite a bit more money. So you're worrying about basically a barbelling where you've got like the chief because he makes a fair amount of money, lower sergeants, they're all getting raises, but you're missing that middle command staff that is needed to just kind of keep the trains going on time.
I mentioned this in the Politically Speaking newsletter, which, by the way, you should subscribe to by going to stlpr.org/newsletters. Had to get that plug in.
Of course you do.
I actually understand the idea of increasing pay for higher ranked officers. I know there was a lot of commentary about like how these people didn't deserve it as much as the lower ones. But if lower ranking officers have a higher paying job to aspire to, then they may stay in the city instead of going to St. Louis County or local municipalities. Is that basically the idea here?
Yes. And I mean, as we also talked about, you want to give individuals the chance to move up and a reason to move up. If you can make more staying as a sergeant with, you know, just first line supervisory responsibilities, why do you want the additional responsibility for what may be less pay?
St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer was very unhappy with this proposal because of something called pay parity, which, as I mentioned, ties any salary increase for police to the fire department. Here's the mayor, who, by the way, we haven't mentioned this yet, is a member of the Board of Police Commissioners.
Yes, so, as being the member of the mayor of the city of St. Louis.
This is her speaking to reporters after the meeting.
It was done without any consideration about how this would impact our city's budget, the resulting raises for our fire department, and the massive increases to pensions and other costs that we bear that have no bearing on the police department's budget. I have asked repeatedly that the city be involved in these conversations, and unfortunately, we have not in a substantive way. This needs to end. We need our police department to be with the city, like every other department is.
That was St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer speaking to reporters after a recent St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners meeting. Rachel, how long has pay parity been around, and how has that made it more complicated to pay police officers more money?
So I think, to be fair to Mayor Spencer, her objection isn't always to giving this raise to command staff. She has said, yes, I understand that these men and women need additional pay, understands the significance and the need to keep these individuals from exiting. Her point is that for every raise that the St. Louis Police Department gets, the fire department has to find money. And that has been around since the 1970s. It actually passed in September of 1970. And it was an initiative petition pushed by the firefighters. And it was essentially for the reason that they were saying, hey, we're doing a job that is as dangerous or equally as dangerous to the St. Louis Police Department. Their wages at the time were set by Jefferson City under state control. And they were saying, hey, we deserve to get the pay that the St. Louis Police Department does. And it basically coupled those two wages together. So every increase that goes to a St. Louis police officer, a St. Louis firefighter of equal rank gets the same increase. The reverse is not true. If the St. Louis Fire Department negotiates raises for its members, the St. Louis Police Department does not get those raises. And it makes it more complicated because the Board of Police Commissioners is acting as its own separate entity now. They're given basically a lump sum of money and they say, we're going to spend it how we see fit. The city, because of parity, then has to find money that they may not have budgeted for or expected to spend for the fire department.
And do you know how much money this is going to cost?
We do have some rough estimates from Budget Director Paul Payne. And he said, basically, we already budgeted in about the 7% raise for the police department. And that was about $13 million with the raise for police and then the subsequent raise for the firefighters. They think that this new package, because of some of the other expenses that come in there, such as, you know, pensions, et cetera, would be an additional $3 million.
While the board did not actually raise pay for commanders at the meeting I mentioned in the introduction. They did end up giving a pay boost to civilian staff. Can you talk about who these people are in the police department and how they support uniformed officers?
So civilian employees are essentially anyone who works for the police department that isn't a sworn officer. So it is everyone from the typists who are helping take, you know, non-emergency phone calls. It can be crime analysts, gun bullet analysts, even the stable attendants who help care for the mounted police. So, you know, think of them as the support staff for the men and women who are out patrolling the streets.
How come the pay boost didn't cause pay parity to kick in?
Because there are no equivalent employees at the St. Louis Fire Department. They don't have like a civilian support staff.
We need to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll continue this conversation with St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman about the recent St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners meeting. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. Welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. We now continue our conversation with St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman on a recent and very contentious meeting of the St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners. So I mentioned it, the contention. I would say that the whole concept of asking for more money for commanders was contentious enough, but it seemed to strike an even bigger chord based on what St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy said about pay parity. Here's what he had to say after the meeting on that topic.
If the excuse to say you can't make this St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department competitive because you have to pay the firemen, then find out a way to pay the firemen or change the rules. So my thing was that we always give concessions to try to get a higher pay raise. And the only and the mayor hit on it. She might not have negotiated with the fire department. But for the three times that I've negotiated, it was the police department was doing only the negotiations, and they automatically got the raises that we got. So how is that in good faith if you're going to hold back a police department? You said we can give you bigger raises, but then we have to think about the fire department. So therefore, you're holding us back. You're holding us back from being competitive. You're holding us back from recruiting officers and retaining officers. So at a certain point, how do you address that if that's always going to be the excuse of the city not to give police officers the raises that they deserve and also to stay competitive? Think about that.
That was St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy speaking to reporters about pay parity earlier this month. Rachel, what was your reaction to when the chief said all that?
I mean, if you think about it from the perspective of the fire department, it's a pretty good deal for them. They don't have to go in and necessarily negotiate pay raises into their contracts in a difficult situation. They just say, hey, we deserve to be paid what the St. Louis Police Department gets. And that does put the onus to make the sacrifices on the St. Louis Police Department. So from that perspective, he is not wrong. It is kind of interesting, though, because I was reading clippings from the 1970 campaign on this at the library earlier this week. And what you didn't hear in that is that there was a lot of talk about how, oh, our job is so dangerous and it's more dangerous than the fire department. And there were arguments back between the police and fire when this was up for debate, where the police department was saying, no, they're not doing the same dangerous job that we are. There's a lot of question of whether or not they should get paid as much. So all of this sounds very, very familiar.
Before we get to the reaction to what the chief said, is there any political will whatsoever to decouple pay increases for police from pay increases for firefighters?
Not with this administration, no. I mean, the firefighters were one of Mayor Kara Spencer's strongest political supporters, and she can't afford to anger them.
What was the reaction from the union that represents the firefighters to Tracy's comments before and during the meeting?
So it was pretty scathing, actually. Dan Clark, who is the president of Local 73, St. Louis Firefighters Union, basically said that this is not, you know, bad business. This is a budget argument. It's not a policy argument, that it's getting targeted because it increases the cost of every raise for the police department. And they basically said the issue we have is trying to undermine a voter-approved protection that has served the city for more than a century. You know, we do a very, very dangerous job, and it's the standard that the city set for itself, was the argument.
And how did the St. Louis Police Officers Association respond to the statement from the firefighters? And I already know the answer to this question, but I want you to actually read it, not me.
So in a letter that was posted online, the president of the St. Louis Police Officers Association said to his counterpart with the fires, we think that you need to apologize for this statement because you're inserting yourself into an argument with people that you say you have no quarrel with, and they're just trying to fight for what is best for their department.
Should we be concerned that the police and fire department aren't getting along here? Or is this just the leaders basically attacking each other?
You know, I think it's like kind of any dispute that you have, but a political dispute that you have. These are leaders advocating for the interests of the unions they represent. Could it make Guns N' Roses a little bit more interesting this year at Thanksgiving? I don't know. Are they going to not pull their punches as much? I don't know. But I think you are seeing public advocacy for the men and women that these two individuals represent.
Maybe they will have a, another event where they do MMA fighting and could actually kick people
they
in the face.
They do have MMA bouts at Guns N' Roses now.
Well, maybe so. There will be more after this. The Board of Police Commissioners brought this pay increase forward as they were trying to obtain around $67 million more in funding, which, by the way, got rejected in court, I believe, twice, but first by the Court of Appeals and then by the Supreme Court.
Yes.
How do you think that this commander pay dispute kind of links with the broader push to try and get more money for the police department?
Well, what we have to think about and remember is that the police department is getting a lump sum of money now. They're being told, we believe that this is the percentage of general revenue. We believe that this is how general revenue is defined. And then they are able to spend it how they want to spend it. The police board controls the spending of it. So in their view, they have found the money for their raises in the budget that they have. It's a separate but parallel argument. They are trying to, of course, get as much money for the police department as they can. That was the effort for the $67 million. Their point here is we have found the money to pay for it for the police department. It is not our responsibility to pay for it for the fire department.
And going back to the $67 million, what is the Board of Police Commissioners plan to do now that it's pretty clear that you cannot use budgetary reserves or the RAMS funding?
Well, we're not 100% certain about that. While things have been rejected on technical grounds because of the way that the Board of Police Commissioners pursued this case, the state and the police board do have ways to revive it, to actually get the Supreme Court or the Court of Appeals to rule on the merits, which would be the question of how you define general revenue.
So I mentioned that the Board of Police Commissioners paused the pay increase for commanders. They didn't reject it.
Correct.
So where are we on that process, and when do you think they'll be actually considering whether to pass this or not?
The board's next meeting is set for June 17th, and the date that to which they sort of tabled or paused this motion was the next meeting. So it'll likely come up and likely will pass at the June 17th meeting. And then it goes over to the hands of the city's Board of Estimate and Apportionment and the Board of Aldermen to attempt to figure out where to find the firefighters' portion of funding in the budget for 2027, which they have to have on the mayor's desk by June 30th.
Is there any sense of what they're actually going to cut at this point? Or is that something they're just going to have to scramble to do?
I think they're just going to have to scramble and find, you know, are there vacancies that we can cut and direct the money to the fire department, longstanding vacancies? That's probably going to be where it comes from, is longstanding vacancies. The mayor does not want to touch RAM settlement or reserve funds to do this because it would be an ongoing expense. That is a possibility if they need to.
So I also mentioned that all of these meetings have been really contentious, usually between the gubernatorial appointees and Spencer. Is there any sense that they're doing anything that the city leadership actually agrees with? And by they, I mean the Board of Police Commissioners.
I think the objection to most of the decisions that the Board of Police Commissioners has made, especially when it comes to the financial aspect of it, is the board not considering the financial impact on the city, and the mayor's office saying we want to be brought into these conversations sooner so that we can look and move our money around in our books. It is a lot harder for the city to move money around in its books than it is for the Board of Police Commissioners to move money around in its books, just from a financial and a procedural perspective. standpoint. So the objection isn't always on policy. It is more to Spencer saying, I believe that my administration is being left out of these conversations. I am the mayor of the entire city of St. Louis, and I have to advocate for the entire city of St. Louis and all of its departments, not just the St. Louis Police Department.
Well, we'll be looking out for those cases, and we will be seeing if my feeling that it's pretty clear that it's over is right or wrong.
Rachel, nothing is over until it's over, Jason. You've been around for long enough to know that.
I know. Rachel Lipman covers all things city government and city politics for St. Louis Public Radio. Thank you for joining us today.
Always fun, Jason.
This episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum, recorded and edited by Danny Wisentowski.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Laura Hamden, and my colleague Jessica Rogan and I are your daily hosts of the Gateway Newsletter. We meet with the editors in the STL PR newsroom every weekday to bring you the top local stories of the day in a quick and easy 6-minute read by 6 a.m. In an age of overwhelm, it's a refreshing, thoughtful take on the news day, if we do say so ourselves. Fine-tune your daily news habit with the Gateway Newsletter. Subscribe at stlpr.org/gateway.